Berlin Canal commercial salmon fishery sees an increase in the chum catch and a decrease in pinks and sockeye. And the Southeast Alaska Pilots Association addresses scheduling conflicts between cruise ships and fuel barge deliveries in Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. According to the Southeast Alaska Pilots Association, or SEPA, increases in cruise vessel traffic and numbers of port calls are generating more scheduling conflicts between cruise vessels and oil barges in Skagway. At the end of May, a pilot of the Norwegian Jewel cruise ship rerouted to Haines due to concerns about docking while a fuel delivery was taking place. Now SEPA has drafted new guidelines for docking cruise ships in Skagway when barges are delivering fuel. Larry Vos is a marine pilot from Southeast Alaska. He says that the Voluntary Waterway Guide recommends that when two ships will be docked at the Broadway and Oar docks in Skagway, the ship headed to the Broadway dock is first in and last out.
That's because of the tight maneuvering room with these large ships in particular, but also not, as we all well know, you know, the environmental conditions in Skagway can be challenging at best, and so not taking for granted that every morning you can just kind of drive right in and not need a lot of power or a little bit more room or have a big crab angle or any of those sorts of things.
According to SEPA, the oil barges that are serving Skagway these days are much bigger than they used to be. The cruise ships are bigger too. They say that this requires more effort to mitigate risk. That's why they have drafted guidelines specific to fuel deliveries. In addition to the guidelines, the association has recommended that stakeholders develop a plan to respond to a collision between a fuel barge and a cruise vessel. This week's preliminary catch numbers are in for the Lynn Canal commercial salmon fishery. Since June 14th, 207 boats have taken a total of 80 king salmon, 15 silvers, 6,000 sockeye, 3,700 pinks, and 175,000 chums in District 15. The chum catch increased by about 65,000 compared to last week, while sockeye and pink salmon catches dropped significantly. Alaska is experiencing an unusually hot summer, and researchers across the state are tracking the effects. The University of Alaska system is known as a leader in climate change research, studying melting permafrost to shrinking glaciers. But there's growing uncertainty about the future of such projects, with steep cuts to state funding. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins spoke with one faculty member in Juneau who's hoping he doesn't have to relocate.
Aaron Hood is a professor at the University of Alaska Southeast. He's training the next wave of environmental scientists, and he's helping the capital city track potential climate disasters. He researches avalanches and glacial flooding events. Hood says all of the money for those types of projects is generated by him and his collaborators.
I've brought in more funding to the university than the university has paid me in salary over the years.
That helps pay for things like travel logistics, lab analysis, and research assistance. But for 9 months, when class is in session, Hood's salary comes from the university. And right now, there are some big unknowns about potential cuts to programs and if enough funding will be available. The University of Alaska faces reductions in state money. On top of that, Governor Mike Dunleavy has vetoed another $130 million. The Alaska legislature has yet to decide if it will override the veto. And Hood says that's leaving a lot of researchers hanging in the balance. He thinks if the cuts are that deep,
a lot of faculty are going to leave the state. And when they leave the state, the expertise that they have goes with them.
And so could tens of millions of federal dollars for climate change research. That money isn't necessarily tied to the university. Many of the projects belong to faculty who applied for the federal grants. So Hood says some expansive research projects involving teams of people across the state could unravel.
We can leave a tremendous amount of federal research money on the table.
Earlier this week, University President Jim Johnson addressed how the institution will weather these cuts and the potential loss of research funding. He acknowledged eyes are on Alaska. The University of Alaska Fairbanks is known as a global leader in Arctic research. And climate change in the Arctic, Johnson said, is an issue of national security. Aaron Hood at the University of Alaska Southeast says his work is also crucial for the state and the rest of the world. Alaska glaciers are contributing to more sea level rise than any other mountain glaciers on Earth. Despite these uncertain times, Hood says he isn't ready to move his family.
I still feel like I want to stay here. I want to do research here. And so I'm pretty committed to making that work.
The university system is still trying to figure out if it will make a declaration which will make it possible to more rapidly downsize and reduce staff. In the meantime, Hood is spending his summer doing what he's always done, monitoring the changes in his backyard. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
The Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association has sued the State Department of Health and Social Services. It's seeking to block emergency rule changes that cut the rates that Medicaid pays many hospitals and doctors. Becky Holtberg is the association's president.
At a time when the state is making pretty significant decisions that could impact people's lives or livelihoods or health care, we think it is important to ensure an opportunity for public input before decisions are made.
The state published the emergency rule changes cutting provider rates by 5% and blocking an annual inflation increase on June 28th. That's the same day Governor Mike Dunleavy issued 182 line item vetoes to the state budget, including one reducing Medicaid spending. The changes went into effect 3 days later, the first day of the new state budget. Holtberg says that's too fast.
They issued a regulation on a Friday to take effect on a Monday. When you are looking essentially at providers who have payroll to meet, businesses to run, and patients to see, taking a pay cut over the weekend, we don't think that's reasonable. In this case, there was ample opportunity for the department to go through the normal regulatory process had they chosen to do it.
The association filed the lawsuit on July 11th. It's asking the Anchorage Superior Court to expedite its review of the case and to put the rule changes on hold. The administration didn't immediately return a request for comment. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check out our podcast on the NPR One app and Stitcher.